part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's...
This is Jason J. Lewis, the voice of Superman on Justice League Action.
This is Mark Waid, writer of Superman Birdland, and you're listening to The Krypton Report.
Welcome to The Krypton Report podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, the Superman of Blue, and today I got a special guest. Something I like to do is I like to talk with creators. I like to talk with people who make the things that we love, and this one's kind of been a long time coming because he's been on my radar, and I've wanted to talk to him, but then life happens, and then we just started talking, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Mike Watson. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, not a problem at all. Mike, I met several years ago at a con. Because what's neat is, as everyone knows, I live in Ohio, and so does Mike. And his comic we'll talk about is neat because it references Columbus, and his character takes place in Columbus. So it's always neat when reading, you're like, I know where that is. I know what he's talking about. It kind of makes it feel like you're part of the story.
Absolutely.
So, Mike, I'm going to let him talk a little bit here, but he is part of and kind of started and the main dude behind Freestyle Comics. And I'm going to have all the links and notes and everything in the show notes so you can check it out. And if you come to, I joke with him, but like every con that I go to, because they're usually around Columbus area, Ohio, and even some like Motor City and stuff, Mike's always there. So it's always nice to see a friendly face at a con. Mike, why don't you tell people a little bit about just your comics in general, and then we'll kind of get started on just your history.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm the publisher and lead creative of Freestyle Comics. We are a small, multi-$100 publishing company that makes comic books where we feel everybody should be epic. Right now, our roster is boasting 14 comic book series, two art book series, a card game called Epic 21, and we are jumping a little bit into the action figure range with some of our characters. And yeah, we do travel to a lot of comic book conventions around the Midwest area, and we're trying to expand out. We have a total of 42 comic books published with this newest Kickstarter that we're doing with Hotshot. And our books range from superhero fantasy to sci-fi, comedy. We have a horror book, even though I'm definitely afraid of horror movies and things like that. We still have one. And I've been doing this as of this year. It would be 25 years in the hole of successes and failures of making comic books.
Wow. That's awesome to hear. I mean, yeah, success and failure go hand in hand, but you're doing it, man. You're making your own. You're proving that you can do it. You're creating your own vision, and that's exciting. Let's see. I remember right about the time you were launching Vigilance, I made sure I picked up Vigilance number one at a con, because you were pumped and you were promoting that at starting that character. I can't remember how long ago that was, because time's just become time. You know, everything runs together. But let's start back at the beginning. What got you into comics? What was that spark that made you think, hey, this is something I want to do, or this is something I can do? Or was it just like, I like this, and then later on you're like, I want to do this?
Oh, actually, it was a close friend of mine back in sixth grade. His name was Tom, and he was in love with comic books, and I kind of really did not notice it or realize it or whatnot. But he was reading one, and I started making fun of him, like, why are you reading that crap? And he was obviously offended by what I said. And he was like, you don't like comics? I was like, no, I don't, man. I don't even know which way to, you know, to even start to begin to read those things. So I don't mess with him. And he's like, kind of put me on notice and just was like, well, I didn't know that, and I don't know how we're best friends, and I did not know that, but we can't continue to be friends if you don't like comics. So here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to go ahead and bring you Step Comics tomorrow. If you can't find something you like, we can't be friends. And I was like, Tom, are you serious right now? And he definitely was. He did not talk to me for the rest of the day. And when he saw me the next day, he did not say anything. He just stuffed a stack of comic books in my face and kept on pushing. And so I eventually, you know, bit down and started flipping through the books because I didn't have a lot of friends, and I didn't want to lose the one friend that I had. And I go through this whole stack of books, and crazy as it be, just like a movie, it took all the way to the last comic book, it being X-Men number 17. And it features the X-Men in Russia fighting under the Red, and it was a little character who was by the name of Wolverine that I ended up falling in love with.
Maybe you've heard of him.
Yeah, maybe you've heard of the guy. But I just fell in love with just like how tough this dude was, and how much he was trying to protect his teammates, his family, his loyalty, and the fact that he was fearless. Omega Red is huge, and Wolverine is like 3'10". And Omega Red, he beat the strongest X-Men who have much cooler powers than Wolverine, and he kept getting back up, and I love that aspect. I wish that I had that fearlessness in me. I wanted to be like him. But when looking at these images and looking at how they were drawn, I've never seen art like this before. And I wanted to draw that type of art. The way it made me feel when I read comics, I wanted somebody to feel that way about my art.
Who did draw the art for that book?
It was Andy Kubert.
Okay.
Of the Kubert Brothers. So I was real amped and excited about that. And Tom and I ended up starting a comic book company in sixth grade. We made X-Men books and we sold them. It eventually kind of spread through our class. We had people helping us with the books. We turned our lunch period into our meeting time. Our teacher, Miss Paul, God bless her soul, kind of picked up on this and saw what we were doing. And she helped us and talked to the principal and asked if we could like extend lunch periods by 15 minutes and allow students to come in our classroom to buy books. But we also sold popcorn and we sold candy with our comic books. And, you know, we had, at that time, back in the day in this grade, we had the girls coloring the books for us. We were drawing them and coming up with stories, making them and stapling them together and all that jazz. So it was a whole like little production that we had at school that was really, really freaking cool. And been wanting to do comic books ever since.
That's awesome. That sounds awesome. Now, Wolverine, I mean, he's like the one X-Men that kind of transcends X-Men. He's probably the most famous X-Men character. So it makes sense. I mean, he's a great character that you would latch on, and that'd be like the one that kind of drives you. So what was the first character that you created yourself?
First character I created myself were actually just my friends and I. Like back in high school when I started like really diving into making comics, I made comics based off of my friends in school, and I had this character named Spectrum. So he probably was the first one that I made. He was pretty lame, but I thought he was cool at the time, and I got real close with a group of kids at school, and I ended up turning us into superheroes, and we were called Youth Force, and we would protect our school from the rival school, John Hay, across the street from us.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I find it's like the creative process, like just because, you know, I write and I'm a creator and like I got my degree in screenwriting and stuff. And I always love talking to people about their creative process, you know, what brought them into like how they pull from their environments and create their characters. Is it like a one-to-one of someone they know? Or are they pulling like different parts of different people, and what inspires them? When was it that you kind of got to the part where you're like, got serious? Like, did you go to school to learn, or did you just kind of do it on your own? Where you really were going to make this your career?
Well, my mom saw how addicted to drawing I was, and she wanted me to attend the Cleveland School of Arts. That's why I ended up going for high school, so it's an arts-focused school. And after that, I got a scholarship to the Columbus College of Art and Design, and I moved down here to Columbus in 1999, doing arts ever since then.
Nice. That's a good school. It's a good place.
Yes, I absolutely.
It's expanded a lot from when I looked at it. They didn't really have anything film related. And then I actually last year applied to be an adjunct professor for their film department. And don't know if I would have got it or not, just because we had the person that was supposed to interview me was out of town and it just got really fumbled. And then I got called for the interview and then it didn't happen because it was crazy. So, but yeah, I really like the school. I think it's improved. It's grown. It's great for the community of Columbus. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of friends that were wanting to get in there when they graduated high school and everything. So when I look at your comics and I'm looking around, Hotshot's kind of your flagship character, would you say?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Hotshot in general, like kind of a little bit who the character is. Was that the first one you created when you were going to do freestyle? Just kind of like give us some information about Hotshot.
Hotshot was the first character that I created, and there were other characters, I mean, as well that I had made and whatnot. I'm actually been flipping through my sketchbooks to gather old art for one of the reward packages, reward tiers on the Kickstarter, but. Hotshot is based off of me, and I guess he was more like he wasn't Hotshot yet, and he was just like me as a character, and I really haven't made a name for him yet, but he was in process, and once I got to college and was on my own, as far as I didn't know anybody, I really kind of just started developing that character, the character of Hotshot more, and based him off of me, because I've always wanted to be a superhero. I mean, who doesn't want that? Well,
for real.
You know, who doesn't want to be a superhero and superpowers and saving the day and things like that? You know, we fall in love with the glory aspect of it. And, you know, I met up with my brother, Victor Dandridge, who we really, once we met, we really catapulted the story and design of Hotshot by light years, because Victor's an amazing writer.
Yep, we know Victor. We had him on the show last year.
Yeah, so a lot of that process of just making, just making different versions, iterations of them, but I don't think Hotshot really hit his stride as far as what I was going to do or take as a story until I got into a relationship, and it was a very serious one, and broke up. And that breakup, which was my fault, led to me being somewhat very depressed, and I was searching for a way to examine those feelings and figure them out and find some resolution to them. And I decided to incorporate it into the story of Hotshot and ask the question of what happens when the hero doesn't get back with their partner. Like, there is no resolution, that they have to move on. How does a guy with superpowers move forward, when they can't go back?
It's a good question. It's a good place to mine, because, you always hear write what you know, and pulling from your personal experience, your personal pain is a great way of expanding and writing. Now, you've mentioned your Kickstarter. Do you want to kind of explain that to everybody, what's going on with that?
Yeah, we're on Hotshot 0 through 12. We're on the 12th issue, technically the 13th issue, because we have a 0 issue. And in this newest chapter in the Hotshot series, is to be touching on what it means to be a real hero. Hotshot has to face his recent failures through his past guilt and trauma. We are successfully funded. We are $3,222 of our $2,500 goal, but we still have 13 days left to go. And this one is a very visceral and actually quite violent issue, as Hotshot gets to face his stepfather, who did a lot of bad things to his mom when he was little. And as a child, he couldn't do anything about it, and he has a lot of guilt. And sad feelings about that. And but now, as an adult with superpowers, this man has walked back into his life at perhaps the wrong time. And in a way, Hotshot gets to settle the score, but the real question is, how much can you settle that score to make things right without going overboard?
I like that. I was privileged to read a couple of issues of this Hotshot run that he sent. I was able to read, I'm pulling it back up, I think 10, 11, and part of 12. Mm-hmm. It was still kind of being worked. And I was reading it, and my son was looking over my shoulder and was asking me questions, and I was kind of telling him about the story and about the characters. And I really liked the way issue 12 was done. I wanted to ask, like, is because the what you sent me, like, to read, like, it wasn't complete.
Right.
Is there going to be added dialogue? Because I found just the art, the way you did the art, to be extremely powerful.
Oh, wow. All right. The book is getting lettered right now. I sent the in process issue with at least all the pages. So you can get the rhythm and the emotion of the story, especially after reading the first two. So I was really hoping that you'd be able to follow along after reading.
Oh, I followed along, and I was reading it. And I was like, I'm pulling it up right here on my iPad because it's just easier than pulling it up on my computer. I was just sitting there and I'm reading this. I'm looking at this and I'm like, is this a choice to do like just all pictures? Because I feel like it almost, it's impacting me maybe harder. I don't know. I was like, this is really cool because in a way, just being who I am, you know, Superman fan, the book at the beginning reminds me a little bit of like Death of Superman, where it was just that last issue where it was just the fight. And
that's exactly where my inspiration pulled from. I absolutely adore the Death of Superman. That is right on the cusp of when I was really getting into comic books, and my grandmother was taking me to the comic book shop. And I later discovered, didn't realize it until I saw them interviewing about it when they explained that once they started the 7-part story, they had tons of panels everywhere and things like that. And as the action picks up and as the action gets bigger in scope and scale and more powerful and more destructive, they used less and less and less and less panels until they got to the very last part, which was all full page spreads. And then by the end of the book, it was double page spreads because that's how explosive the action it got. And that's where, you know, as to how big seeing Superman die would be, it would break panels, it would break borders. And so I wanted to do the reverse of that with this issue, that the anticipation, the rage, the anger, the emotion is on such a scale that it can't be contained in the pages. So it starts off with double page spreads. And as his anger and rage gets more linear and focused, we bring the panels back into play.
I loved it. Like I said, I'm looking at this, I'm going through this, and about page 17 is where it kicks to being just more the sketch and incomplete, but I'm still following along and I'm still like, I'm feeling the story. I don't want to give anything away, but there's on page, I think it's 18, where it looks like you do a choice to change the way Hotshot is drawn that I just found very impactful. I mean, and I had read, I don't remember what issue I own of Hotshot because I just haven't got a chance to dig through my, I have a whole short box full of where I like to buy independent comics, but I just haven't, we've been re-cleaning the house and moving stuff around. And sadly, a while back, I had a dog. We were watching a friend's dog who's our emotional support dog, and he got into my comic room and went crazy and shredded a bunch of my books. So I'm still not sure what all I'm missing, but I say that because I had read a Hotshot comic before, because I don't remember what number it was I bought. But just having read this 3-issue arc where I'm getting dropped in with 10, 11, and then with 12, I was even feeling the emotion that Hotshot had. So just in that little bit, I could feel it compared to if I had been following the story from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I really like, next time I see you at a con, like, I'm going to pick up this issue, if nothing else, like, just if because I really like the way this issue is done, and I look forward to seeing it completed.
All right. And I don't think, thank you. I appreciate hearing that, man. And that's why I wanted to, get this issue out to press and stuff so they can read it. So, cause I'm very interested in having this conversation because, when I let people read this book, to kind of like give me feedback and stuff, I realized a lot of my friends who I'm close with and that I work with, have the same situation, not the exact situation, but they've all experienced this too. And you don't realize how many people are affected by something like this until you talk to them. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this is so I can deal with my own issues with it. But, I needed to have something because Hotshot's whole thing is that he can't control his powers. Like, he can't access abilities when he needs the access abilities. There's a block. And so we had to come up with a mental block that would be sufficient enough to justify that. And I talked with my mom and my sister about this to make sure it was okay with them that I did the story, and they gave me the okay. So putting this in place is a big deal for me. It's definitely something where I want people to have conversations about this. And I think that page you're talking about, and I don't actually mind if it's the right page, but I don't mind spoiling that part. I think it's the page where Hotshot sends him flying. He bounces a couple times and he's kind of choking his stepdad. And you don't know what he says, but his stepdad smiles. And when Hotshot punches him, he turns back into a kid.
Yep. Yep. Because in the previous book, you have Hotshot sitting there and recalling a memory, and he was a kid, and he says, you know, powerless, couldn't do nothing. And I thought it was just extremely impactful as he's, you know, you see him as an adult fighting, but then it's like, this is the inner child inside him not being powerless, and you drew him back to being a kid punching. And I was like, man, that's strong.
It feels good when, because I know that I'm not the best writer in the world, and I'm still growing. That's why I'm always getting feedback from people. I'm always, you know, Danny Cooper, who's our editor-in-chief, he's fantastic and amazingly supportive when it comes to helping me, you know, giving me feedback and challenging me and not, you know, just being a yes person. And Victor also in the same route when it comes to, like, really, like, anything that I send Victor and Danny, they never settle up on the first thing. They're always trying to push me. And I know I'm still growing. I know I'm not there yet. But for you to be able to capture that moment that way, and that's exactly how I want it to be seen. And that makes me very happy.
I'm glad. So do you do the art yourself, right?
Yes.
I just want to make sure, because sometimes, you know, people half and half. Just from reading this book, like,
I do the drawing. Lori Foster that handles the inks, and Veronica Smith handles the colors.
Yeah, totally. The thing with comics is it is a visual language. And as much as me as a person, I like to write, and I'm not an artist, and I communicate, try more through my words. Just this book, the way you've done it without words, you've perfectly communicated just in your imagery. I've said this before, comics, like, I appreciate art and different comic artist styles, but sometimes the art makes and breaks a book. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have a great story, but the art's not great. It's hard to look at. You don't really want to look at it because the style's too bizarre that the story gets lost. And just from your art alone, I'm completely following the story and I understand the emotion. And sometimes that's very hard to get, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, like, have you released it like this? If you released this book, I swear, without any words, just the images, it would still, I think, have the same emotional impact. But it's good stuff. How can people get your stuff, I guess? Or can they purchase online? Is there any local, for our people, our fans here in the Ohio area, is there any local stores you're partnered up with?
Yeah, we're at Comic Time. Oh, well, Comic Time just closed down. We're at Laughing Ogre. I know that sucks, man. Comic Time is such a great shop.
I just went. So we moved a little farther south. I started in southern part of Columbus. Then I moved to Circleville, and now we're a little bit south. And we went to Columbus. And we were just, me and my wife like to do this. We'll just hit different comic shops and stuff. And we went to Comic Book Town, and because I hadn't been there since they left their old shop. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we went and I loved it. The kids got some stuff. And like, yeah, like a month after that was when they announced they were closing.
Yeah. It sucks to lose a shop like that that is so supportive and, you know, really good to the community and things. But yeah, Comic Town was a spot where Pack Rat carries our stuff. They're probably out of stock. So it'd be great if people went there and said, hey, can you order some more FSK books?
I will. Because that's the shop I visit the most because I used to work up by there. And I'd go there on my lunch break and stuff. And that's still where the shop that was by me here, they closed in Circleville. Mm. And so I just, when I get a chance, I go up to Pack Rat. So I'll make sure I mention that when I'm in there.
Awesome. Laughing Ogre, Capital City, World's Greatest. So they all carry our stuff right now. And then obviously everybody can get our stuff off of fsknow.com. We ship every Monday if you order off the website. Or you can do our TikTok shop. And TikTok has been running a ton of deals. So we normally ship next day off the TikTok shop because they've been doing free shipping for everybody. And then obviously any combo conventions that we're at. Right now I'm scheduled for AwesomeCon and GalaxyCon Richmond in March. And we'll have our schedule up on our Facebook page of all the shows that we're trying to pop up at and local events and things.
That's awesome. That's the one thing about, I feel like Ohio, we don't have a lot of cons in the earlier part of the year.
Yeah.
It feels like.
We do not. And we did a lot of shows last year, and it was a lot of energy and a lot of work. So I don't mind kind of sitting out this first few months. I tried to get onto a couple shows because they were just bigger shows, but I didn't get into them in time as tables were sold out or whatnot. But I'm fine with chilling for a little bit. So we'll officially get started in March.
I think Emerald City is the only one I think of that's, and that one's been kind of hit and miss. Like I went to it one year and I felt like it was really growing and becoming bigger. Mm-hmm. And then like the next year I was looking at who was there and it felt like it was really small again. So I don't know. I feel like it's never recovered since the pandemic.
Mm, yeah. Pandemic has definitely made things different for the shows and stuff.
So as an indie, and you mentioned, you know, the press, what's the kind of the process like, you know, getting, because I always find it interesting, like how you do the art and the publishing. Like, is there a publisher that you're teamed with that you send the stuff to, like how you get things made?
So we handle everything ourselves except for the printing of the book. We are the publisher. So we get all the files organized and on the template and send it in. Right now, our main printer is Comics Wellsprings that prints our stuff. And I've actually got to put in some reorders here in a couple of days to get ready to give them in time for the show. But we handle everything from the start to the finish. I mean, coming up with the idea, putting the team together, the writing, the layouts, penciling, inking, coloring, lettering, editing, post-production work, getting the book all set up, you know, as far as promoting, most of our books are promoted initially first through Kickstarter because that's kind of like a huge audience potential to reach and things like that. We're going to be trying some new things this year because I want to drop 4 issues of Hot Shot this year. So we will be kind of doing something new on some of our releases where it's kind of like a one-day release where we'll promote that it's happening. But we will sell the book on our own website with live streaming and special deals. And like we'll have cameras set up to where I'm downstairs in my studio with 100 copies of the book. And as people order them off our website, if people order them off the stream, I will pack and ship them out. You know, I'll pack them up on live stream and, you know, ship.
That's awesome.
Today. So we want to get more content out. We want to get more books out. And we have a huge, huge story to tell. That is, you know, cracking out around Hot Shot 24, 25. And in order to do that, we got to get there. So we are trying to up our production level seriously up by a lot this year so we can hit some of those goals.
All right. I like, you know, I've gotten to a point where when I go to cons, I like to seek out more of the indie books. Like, I love meeting the creators of like when I met Dan Jurgens and stuff. but I really like to spend my money on finding the people like you who are printing and making their own books and are putting their energy in doing something that is not supported by a big company. They're not part of, you know, the machine. They're doing it on their own. And I just feel like there's a purity to it because it's coming from such a place of love and personal. Like when you're creating your own characters, and doing it like you are, like you said, you're putting yourself into the characters and it's part of your identity. And I just think that is passion that should be, rewarded. And especially when it's good quality, you know, like I'm not going to lie. I've bought some indie books from people and I've been like, the art's okay. And the story is kind of, and I won't say who, because you know, I still support everybody as much as I can. But when you read it and you're actually connecting with the book and you're connecting with the character and its quality, that's what we need. You know, we need that spark of seeing someone being able to help, pardon me, just being able to support people who are living their dream, you know?
Yeah, and that support is very much so, it's very much so needed. So I appreciate that very much. And what you're saying with, like, you know, being able to connect and relate to them, that is, we're super, super big on that. We want, that's what we believe in. We want to make these stories and characters somebody that are, or people that you can get behind, that you can rally behind. And, you know, you want to take part in their world and see what they've done and see what happens with them. Whether you want to see them succeed or fail, we want you to be, you know, captivated by what they're doing.
So you said you had 13 days left on your Kickstarter, correct?
Yes.
To talk a little bit about that and where that is, and if you can shoot me that link, I will get this episode out today so that we can get that going to help promote the Kickstarter.
Absolutely. the link is fskgo.com. We try to make things very, 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 very simple for people. We want to make it easy as heck for you to be able to find the things that we are involved with, very much so. But this campaign, we have actually a lot of stuff on this campaign. Number one, you can get all 13 issues of Hot Town, 0 through 12, is available on this Kickstarter. Right along with 0 through 12, you can actually get all 42 comic books in the Freestyle Comics universe. All of our books are connected in one comic universe. And we are leading up to our own cataclysmic event called Zero Event Emergence. And that's what we're, you know, one of them. We have we have our dream board, and we have three big events planned for the entirety of the run. I don't see our stories being constantly ongoing, unless some mantles get passed on or whatnot. There's several ends for our characters. And I see cataclysmic events as those events that call upon every single hero in your verse to rally together to defend the world or, you know, protect whatever. And we have stepping stones to those cataclysms. So one is kind of just like a countrywide threat, and then one is a worldwide threat, and then our last one is a universal threat. I don't think you can have universal and world threats every single summer. So
yeah,
we really want to manage that. But if you want to be a part of that world, I think we have enough content to where it's not scary to jump in, and it's accessible where you can find it. Like, you don't have to read every single one of our issues, but you can jump on a series and, you know, you'll be able to locate more content if you want. We are debuting our Hotshot action figure, which is 7 inches, 25 points of articulation. Has a nice packaging to go with it as well. We have three versions of that available. We have some new bomber jackets that feature our characters, Hotshot and Void. We have trucker hats that feature Hotshot's logo, the H and S, the classic FSK logo, and then the Freestyle Comics logo for the first time ever on one of our trucker caps. Magnet stickers. We have variant covers. Our variant covers are, I'm very happy with our variant covers for this issue. We have Adam Fields, who put out a banger of a cover that matches the emotional content of this issue. Then we have a cover by Ren McKenzie that matches the comic prowess of this issue on point. We also have DC Stelpner, who created a cover which I like to call The Calm Before the Storm. And we have Will Wong Yee, who created a cover that is the moment of rage for us. I've created a secondary cover because if you buy it, we have an all covers tier where you can buy all the variant covers. If you do that, I have a wraparound cover that I drew and that I colored in ink with Hotshot showcasing the ferocity of his power going off. But a lot of cool things on this Kickstarter. I would like to say that we have something for everybody. We brought back our metal bookmarks, which are very popular. We even have a tier where you can create your own pledge. Make it yourself. It's a $1 tier, and you get to add whatever add-ons you want to create your own custom tier.
Nice. I was looking at it as you were talking. I like the way it's set up. Now, some of the items you're talking about, are those available like at your booth when you're at a con? The bookmarks and...
The bookmarks, we're starting to carry... This year, we'll start to carry some of the trucker hats with us. But the shirts and jackets and stuff, those are going to have to... You'll have to order those off the website. A couple days after the Kickstarter is over, once we put out the Barker Kit surveys from the Kickstarter, all the merch from the Kickstarter will be available on the website for order.
Awesome. That sounds great. I mean, I'm excited for you. This is good stuff. And I say that from a true place of, you know, support and as a fan. Like I said, if I didn't enjoy your book and your work and what I did, I wouldn't, you know, be trying to help you out, support it, and, you know, let people know about it. So I really do think you're onto something with the Hot Shot. Like that last, I'm going to have my wife later. She's a comic fan with me. I'm going to show her the issue and just kind of get some feedback from her. She always has great insight on things.
That's excellent. Love to hear what she has to say.
But all right, Mike. Last thing, anything else you want to just say to everybody before we wrap up here?
Not too much here. Just if anybody can support the campaign, and it does not have to be a financial support. If you are hard up for money and your funds are tight, or you just want to help, all help is appreciated. Just share the campaign. Just share FSK Go out. Let people know that, like, you heard about this and it seems like something cool. If you're a comic fan, check it out. We have, like I said, we try to make levels for all kind of financial situations, so everybody will be able to get a piece of the Hot Shot series. But any support will be appreciated. So just, you know, biggest thing I could ask for is for people to share the campaign out to other people.
All right. Spread the word. Like you said, if you can't support, we understand. Money can be hard and difficult, and it's January, you know, right after the holidays. Sometimes everybody's like a little hard up. I get it, but hey, spread the word, keep it up, you know, check out the stuff, and you know, we appreciate as much as Mike does. Mike, thank you for being here. Love the conversation. Next time I see you live, we'll get a couple quotes from you, catch up with you. Usually I'm at, always at CincyCon. Love, you know, Cincinnati Comic Expo.
Love that show. We'll definitely be back there.
It's become my favorite con to go to every year. So
yeah,
definitely be touching base then.
Yeah, I love Cincinnati Comic Con. I would agree. It's in my top three shows to go to every year.
Now, side note, are they doing it at a different location this coming year? Because I thought I saw them say something in one of the posts about it was going to be at a different location.
Oh, I didn't see anything saying that.
Maybe it's just I misread it. I don't know. We'll see as it gets closer. It could just be me. That does happen. So. All right. Well, thanks, Mike. You take care. Everybody check out in the show notes and the links, and check out our socials because I'll be promoting it. And remember.
up in the sky.
We just want to say, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please check out other podcasts on the Press Play Podcast Network.
If you are like Tyler and James and can't get enough Super Talk, check out these other podcasts. Digging for Kryptonite, Supergirl Radio, The Last Sons of Krypton, The Superboy Legacy Podcast, All-Star Superfans, Superman the Animated Podcast, The Aspiring Kryptonians, Always Hold On to Smallville, The Geek of Steel, and Truth, Justice, and Hope.
Remember to check out Krypton Report on all social media platforms. Go to linktree.com/KryptonReport. You find all of our information.
I want to give a quick shout out to some of our other favorite podcasts from Press Play and other podcasting networks. Books with Brooks, the Fanfare podcast, which is a great movie rating podcast. Gravely Amusing with our best pal, Brian. I also want to shout out the other show, Brian the Guys, that I often guest on as one of the guys with our pal, Brian. Also check out The Confessing Heretics, where Jania talks about the abuse and things that she witnessed through growing up in the church and what shaped her future. I definitely recommend it's a great podcast, but it's also for mature audiences.